morning. A warm welcome to this morning's service at Paignton Baptist Church.
It's great to... there you go. That's a bit louder. Is that better? It's great for us all to know that we're all special in God's sight, whether here physically or listening at home. Hello, Rowena. So it's great to be here. Stephen always reminds us that notices are the signs of life. So here we go. First of all, Thanksgiving envelopes are available if you haven't picked them up already. And two food notices, always good.
Hungry Hearts is today, able to stay, you'd be delighted to see you. And anniversary, 2 weeks' time, there's a meal afterwards. Please sign up if you're able to come and what you're able to bring. That's notices for that. Okay, let's pray together. Thank you, Holy Lord, for this opportunity to worship you and hear from your word. Please give us all worshipping and receptive hearts to hear all you are saying to us. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we start with a hymn, a wonderful hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Please stand or sit as you wish.
Psalm of David. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagle's. Amen. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are and remembers we are only dust. Amen. We'll have three songs of worship now. If at some stage during this you wish to pray a prayer out loud of worship, that's fine. There'll also be a chance to open worship at the end. And if you want to have a musical instrument of any sort, please make a joyful noise. That will be brilliant. And we're going to start with, again, a lovely hymn, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
And great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise.
Thank you. Worship a majestic God. So let's sing
Majesty.
Worship
His Majesty. Forgiven people, as a people who are hugely loved, as a people who are helped by a strong God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Please sit down. Thank you. We're now going to have our offering. This is, if you're able to give, wish to give, that's fine. If you're not able, or whatever, that's absolutely fine. Also, thank you. Thank you, Stuart.
Thank you.
Father God, we thank you that every good and perfect gift
comes from you. And we thank you now for the privilege of bringing back something to you. And we commit it into your hands that you will use it to your
praise and glory.
Amen.
Down, that would be good. Father God, we thank you for Stephen. We thank you for the many gifts you've given him. And we pray you anoint him afresh with your spirit today as he shares your word. We pray you'll protect his health and bless his voice. Help him not to overdo it. But you just put him into your hands now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Right, children, there's a Harry, and there's a Connie, and there's a Lexi, and lots of other children as well. As you know, when I give you drawing activities, adults are very welcome to join in as well. The sheets are outside. There's a sheet here. There, Liz, you've got one there if you want. I know Liz likes to do them. What are you going to do on your sheets today? Well, I'd like you, if you'd like to write or to draw something special, something that you really value, that you've learnt from mum or dad or granny, grandpa, or anybody else, particularly of the older generation. Some of you have got great grandparents that you can learn from and sat next to. Wonderful. So what have you learnt? Now, some of you, it might be how to make a really good sponge cake. Our girls learnt a lot from their mum. And it's lovely going to their houses now because we eat lovely meals because they've learnt so well off mum. So what is it that you've learnt from your parents or grandparents or great-grandparents? It might be to play a sport. It might be to play football. It might be acts of kindness. It might be that you understand the value of money. Somebody at Boys Brigade, when I asked about what does life consist of, what he said, money. And I said, that's interesting. If I gave you a £5 note, would you like that? You can't spend it, just keep it. Do you like that? No. So what would you spend it on? Now, what do you think a 10-year-old boy says about spending money on? Sweets?
His mum.
His mum? Games. Essentials. Essentials. He's learnt that money is for essentials. That's something you value. So what is it that you children have learnt from parents or grandparents or grandparents? It could be anything. Food, sport, values, Jesus, you name it, whatever you like. We're thinking today about what our forefathers learnt or didn't do. So I'd just like to be interested to know, if you'd like to put it on a drawing, what things you've learned from your parents and grandparents. I'll leave that one down there. God has spoken to his people always in a variety of different ways. In direct words and actions, through the words and actions of others, and also through visions and dreams. As David wonderfully explained last week, I didn't see it, I heard it. I heard that. If you didn't see last week, if you weren't here last week, listen to it on the recording. I can picture the scene of last week. David, the priest, Zechariah, dressed in his finery, explained that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah and was revealed to him in visions, revelations of when he was fully awake. And there was explanation of those visions through angels and messengers. It was amazing. This word was given to Zechariah for Judah, the remnant of the people of Israel. Just two tribes left, Benjamin and Judah, at a particular time in their history, 18 years after their return from exile in Babylon. It was to speak into their particular circumstances. They were a discouraged and splintered group of refugees who'd returned to their homeland, to Judea, the land around Jerusalem, and they were in need of encouragement and hope. But this word of Zechariah was not just for them. The word was for other nations at the time, and it was also for future generations, both Jews and Gentiles, even for us. You might think, what on earth is the book of Zechariah, a prophet speaking in Jerusalem 2,500 years ago, got to do with us? Well, if we took that attitude, we wouldn't read the Bible at all. So what does it have to say for us? There must be something. And one really important warning here. You see this mistake made all the time. And do talk with me afterwards about it if you need more thinking on this one. As with all the books, the prophetic books of the Old Testament, we must not simply treat what is written as if it were originally written to us. God's word of Zechariah was not written originally to us 2,000 years ago in Britain. It was written to a particular people at a particular time. And that always applies in Scripture. We are not Judah. We're not even the new Israel, as some people would say. Not at all. We're the church who've been grafted in to the olive root. And we're part of Israel now, but in a completely different way. So we need to be always understanding what was God saying to these particular people. And in that way, what is he now saying to us? With the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can understand what he's saying to us today through this old word. Paul says this, all scripture, Old and New Testament, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So the man of God, the woman of God, the child of God may be equipped for every good work. So our expectation is, as you hear what Ollie's about to read, he's around somewhere, there he is, do you want to come up, Ollie? Ollie's about to read this 2,500-year-old word from Zechariah, our expectation is the Holy Spirit is going to speak to all those who have their ears open. So I'm just going to pray, and then Ollie's going to read the first part. It's in two parts, and don't worry if he stops at a fairly short period of time. That'll be all right, Ollie. Stand back from it, you'll be fine. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for you to send your Holy Spirit now to quicken this word, make it alive, to be Rhema word to us, God-breathed word to us, to guide us into all truth. Give us the power to listen, to hear, and to obey your word. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. The reading today will be from Zechariah chapter 1.
Don't get too close. Stand back from it, Ollie. That's fine.
The first part of the reading will be from verses 1 to 6. A call to return to the Lord. In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, to the son of Edo. The Lord was very angry with your ancestors. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Do not be like your ancestors to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Where are your ancestors now? And the prophets, do they live forever? But did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, overtake your ancestors? Then they repented and said, the Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do.
So, have a seat. Oh, you haven't got a seat. Have a seat. This is how the book starts. Calling people, calling God's people to return to him. And this follows a pattern that you'll see time and time again in the Old Testament. God sends his prophets to warn the people refuse to listen. God brings judgment upon them for their disobedience. Then they get it and they say they're sorry. And then they forget. And God sends his prophets to warn his people. The people refuse to listen. God brings judgment upon them for their disobedience. You can see it time and time again. Zechariah reminds his hearers that their forefathers had ignored God's warning. That's why I asked the children to put down what they'd learned from their previous generations, their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents. Judah, listen. Think about your forefathers, how they ignored God's warning and they suffered the consequences. They were conquered in battle, the city was destroyed, and they were exiled to a foreign land. Zechariah's name means God remembers. God remembers what happened 70 years ago when they were exiled. Do you, Zechariah is saying, to you. 70 years is very significant. Why is 70 years significant? In terms of age. Why 70 years? Why did this happen 70 years? Why did Jeremiah say in 70 years' time the Lord will bring you back? What's special about 70? It's not a lot of years. It's our allotted. It's a lifetime. In the biblical context, 70 years, 70 years was a whole lifetime. So in other words, nobody who was alive when they were exiled, even the tiniest baby, is coming back. Everybody suffered the punishment for their sins. And they all went. Nobody came back but their children and their grandchildren. And their great-grandchildren came back. This is an opportunity, the Lord is saying, for a fresh start. Will you return, not just to Jerusalem, but will you return to me? Will you obey me when they didn't? Will you be faithful to me when they didn't? When they weren't? Okay, so, application to us. Got to be careful not to fall over the cross here, but I'm sure some of you are worried about that. It's very difficult sometimes to access Old Testament scripture, and I've got a really simple way of doing it. And you can do this to any part of the Bible, and you've heard me say this before, and we're going to look at this today for both passages. Number one, what do we learn about God? Any passage of the Bible, what do you learn about God? He is the Lord Almighty. The Hebrew word, I've done a bit of research this time, you'll be very impressed, Sabaoth. Sabaoth, which means the Lord of hosts. And somebody, a preacher, Bob Gordon, from many years ago, compatriot of Colin Urquhart, he got really upset at a conference. He said, the NIV should never have done it. Should never have done it. I thought, what should the NIV people never have done? They say at the beginning of the NIV, you can read it there if you look, we've decided, because the Lord of hosts doesn't mean much to people nowadays, we'll change it to the Lord Almighty. Now that was, I think, a bad decision. NIV is brilliant. It's the Bible I use. It's the Bible I've memorized. I'm stuck with it now for the rest of my life because it's the one I've memorized. But it was a bad decision. Why? Because the two words are not the same. Lord Almighty is great. Nothing wrong with it. But the Lord of hosts is saying something more. Somebody has put it like this. He who is sovereign over all the hosts, all the powers of heaven, heaven and of earth, especially over the hosts, the armies of Israel. That's who you're dealing with. The Lord of hosts. Yes, he's almighty, but he has hosts. He's in charge of the angels, in charge of all armies, in charge of everyone you can think about. He is the Lord of hosts. So that's the word you'll hear me use as we go through. He is faithful. He is faithful to his people. Despite their rebellion, their disobedience, their faithlessness, he is faithful. As we heard last week, he keeps calling them to return to him. I was at another bit of Hebrew. We're learning a lot today. The word for Hebrew and for return and remember are from the same root. So when he says remember, he's also saying return. So he keeps calling people to remember and to return to him, to obey him, to be holy as he is holy. So he's the Lord of hosts. He is faithful. His word always comes true. That's what we learn from this passage. God said it was going to happen. He said they'd be in exile, and they were. He said they would come back after 70 years, and they have. God's word always comes true. And that means, and this is the bad news, the judgment he decrees always comes to pass. So that's what we learn about God. Second question you always ask, what do you learn about people? Now we learn a lot about people. Just have a look at each other today. Have a look at each other. Have a quick look. Look at the people who are trying to smile. And look at the people who are completely miserable. And look at the people who can't help but smile. You've already learned a lot in those few seconds. Haven't you? What do you learn about people? They have short memories. It's only 70 years since judgment came on Judah. But the people have already forgotten to obey God. And what happens if you don't? They've already forgotten to trust him completely. And it is my challenge to you today and to myself. Have you forgotten about God? Is there some aspect of God that you've forgotten? Have you forgotten that he is faithful, that you can trust him? Have you forgotten how powerful he is and wise he is? Have you forgotten that you can't fool him? You can't run away from him. Jonah tried that. If you don't know the story, tell me afterwards. It involves a big fish. Have you forgotten God's commands, God's promises? Thirdly, you can ask this question. Is there a command to obey, an example to follow, or a truth or a promise to believe? This is what the Lord of hosts says. Return to me, declares the Lord of hosts. And I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Even Ollie picked up as he was reading it. Says three times the same word. If God says who he is three times, he does actually want us to get the message. Are you going to return? Some of you here need to return to the Lord. To remember and return. Next Bible reading, please. Ollie?
Getting our money's worth out of Ollie today. So we'll be reading from verses 7 through to 21, I believe. The man among the myrtle trees. On the 24th day of the 11th month, the month of Shebat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Ido. During the night I had a vision, and there before me was a man mounted on a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees in Aravid. Behind him were red, brown, and white horses. I asked, "What are these, my lord?" The angel who was talking with me answered, "I will show you what they are." Then the man standing among the myrtle trees explained, "They are the ones the Lord has sent to go throughout the earth." And they reported to the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees, "We have gone throughout the earth and found the whole world at rest and in peace." Then the angel of the Lord said, "Lord Almighty, how long will you withhold mercy from Jerusalem and from the towns of Judah, which you have been angry with these 70 years?" So the Lord spoke kind and comforting words to the angel who talked with me. Then the angel who was speaking to me said, "Proclaim this word. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Jerusalem and Zion, and I am very angry with the nations that feel secure. I was only a little angry, but they went too far with the punishment. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will return to Jerusalem with mercy, and there my house will be rebuilt, and the measuring line will be stretched out over Jerusalem, declares the Lord Almighty. Proclaim further, this is what the Lord Almighty says. My towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. Four horns and four craftsmen. Then I looked up, and there before me were four horns. I asked the angel who was speaking to me, "What are these?" He answered me, "These are the horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem." Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. I asked, "What are these coming to do?" He answered, "These are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could raise their head, but the craftsmen have come to terrify them and throw down these horns of the nations who lifted up their horns against the land of Judah to scatter its people."
Thank you. It's like you never see that. We have gone throughout the earth and found the whole world at rest and in peace. Well, that sounds all right, doesn't it? Peace is what we want. Peace is what God commands us to pray for. But judgment is coming upon these nations. What's wrong? This is not a godly peace. This is not a good peace. It's more, as someone has written, an eerie silence, symbolizing the long years of Judah's exile and captivity at the hands of imperial nations who came in and took over God's people. The peace that the vision describes has come. Could you turn the... Something's ringing. Sorry, we could turn down a bit. Thank you. The peace that the vision describes has come at the expense of God's chosen people. The nations have profited by conquering Judah and Israel, and they feel secure at peace in their own power and their own wealth. It's something about being proud. That's why God says, "I am very angry with the nations that feel secure. I was only a little angry, but they went too far with the punishment." God allowed these nations to conquer Israel, to conquer Judah, as punishment for their disobedience. But they went too far, and they tried to obliterate, to wipe out God's people. The 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, you've got the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and we're always talking about the southern kingdom now, because the northern kingdom has gone. Those 10 tribes that were taken away by the Assyrians into their empire were just scattered, disappeared. You never see them again. God's judgment is coming upon those nations, as revealed by the vision of the four craftsmen who've come to terrify them and throw down these halls. When you read in this, you hear it, Ollie says, what's this business about halls? Who's got something with a horn? Anybody got a goat at home? Or the odd sheep? Who's got a unicorn? Yes, there's unicorns around. We're used to horns in the Bible means strength. And the strength of these nations came upon Israel. And God is saying, time has come for those nations who went too far to receive the judgment of the Lord. But God's mercy will come to Jerusalem. So you've got judgment on the nations, mercy upon Jerusalem, the center of Judea, symbol of the nation and home of the temple where God has made his presence, where God has made his home. The only place at this time that the Lord dwelt on earth was Jerusalem, in the temple. My towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. God will return to Jerusalem, just as he's calling the people to return to him. Okay, there's lots more that you could read, and we could be here for ages, but we're not going to be. I encourage you, to the level that you are interested and have a thirst and a hunger, to read chapter 1, go on the internet, find some commentaries. We've got them to lend if you want to borrow them. But do some more research and some listening. But we're going to be only covering a small portion of this book as we go through it. So what is God saying to us through these two visions? Same questions. What do we learn about God? He is the Lord of hosts. He is above all powers, human and heavenly. These powers, these empires, these imperial nations that came and dealt with his people and took them here and took them there, God is above them. He is sovereign. Do we have that word last week? Yes, some of us remember it. That's the advantage of having listening to it on Tuesday, I think it was. Sunday. Anyway, Monday, I don't know when it was. Sometime. Thank you, Ian, for putting it on promptly. We got to listen to it. Just thank you. He is sovereign. He is above all powers. He will do what he chooses to do, and when he chooses to do it. Have you noticed in the passage there are precise dates? There are precise dates when this happened and that happened. That's just to emphasize that God is in charge. Some of us may not like this. God is in charge. He'll do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Tough if you think you want him to do something different. He does bear with us while we get, as it were, get the schedule. But he's in charge. And let's not have any messing about with thinking we're in charge. The Lord is in charge. The Lord is angry, but in a controlled and limited way. I was a little angry with my people. Just a little. You went too far. I didn't go too far. I went as far as I went. That's what God said. He is jealous for Jerusalem and Judah, the remnant of his chosen people. They're my people. I want my people. Can you hear God's heart? He's looking at you now. I want my people to worship me. They're my children. Don't any of you go swatting off over there and thinking you can live in the world for a bit. It'll do you no good. You're mine. I have called you by your name. You are mine. At this point, I'm really as I'm supposed to rest my voice. Excuse me getting excited. He is a merciful, kind, and comforting God. Did you hear that? See that little bit there? I spoke kind and comforting words to the angel. Who's explaining all this to me? God returns to bless his people because he remembers his people. So we learn a lot about God. What do we learn about people? We are only truly secure and at peace with the Lord. The Lord's peace based on the world's peace, the world's peace, based upon wealth, health, power, and exploitation of others, is temporary and fleeting. It will not last. God will set the captives free. He will release the oppressed. Judgment will come upon those who trust in themselves for peace. Is there a command to obey, an example to follow, or a truth or a promise to believe in? Well, there's lots, just a handful. Remember, it's the Lord who has saved you and called you to be his own, no one else. Rely upon the Lord alone for peace and prosperity. Individually, we as a church, we as a nation, as we think about the coronation coming up, we must rely alone on the Lord for peace and prosperity. No one or nothing else. The Lord of hosts is the only one who can provide true peace and everlasting prosperity. He's the only one who can defeat the enemy. The Lord of hosts is the one who defeats all the enemies who are having a go at us, even at this moment. That wave of fear, that voice in the ear, those people who suddenly turn nasty on you weren't expecting. Whatever it might be, he's the one who can defeat us from our enemies and protect us from harm. And he will do it because he's a jealous God who fights for his people. At this point, I'm thinking, I'm glad God's on my side. And that's not Stephen's side, he's on the side of all those who put their trust in him. What then shall we say in response to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's Romans. The answer's in Romans, by the way. That's my new phrase. You've heard me say it lots of times. It's always in Romans. What then shall we say in response to everything we've heard in Zechariah so far? If God is for us, who can be against us? So worship the Lord of hosts. Return to him. The Lord of mercy and grace, the kind God. Listen to his word of comfort, strengthening and encouragement, and for his word of discipline, the word that teaches, rebukes, corrects, and trains in righteousness, so that we may be equipped for every good work. Return to him and commit yourself to obeying his word. It's a fat lot of good sitting in those Bibles. Till it's obeyed, God's word doesn't come into effect, does it? Till it's listened to and obeyed. Let's not forget what happens when God's people, us, our church, Israel, anybody, what happens when God's people ignores or sets aside God's word? We are in times, and it'll be coming up more and more, when people will say, let's set aside God's word. If we do that, we are doomed. Return to disciple one another. We have a responsibility to become disciples, followers of Jesus, who disciple one another. This was one of these scriptures I learned from the Navigators when I was at university, and I memorized it, and it stayed in there. Isn't that good? I think this is the test now. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. Yeah, that's why you memorize scripture, because it's always been there. So this congregation, have a look at that side, and you lot, have a look at that side. Just do it now. You are to teach one another and admonish. That means tell off one another. It does. I've had to tell people off. I've had to be told off. Just ask Leslie. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. We need discipline. Otherwise we'll go off the rails. And particularly new Christians, I haven't said this to you yet. New Christians, you know who you are. You need discipline. And there will be older Christians who blow it all the time, but they will have some wisdom and they'll tell you, don't do that, it'll get you into trouble. Do this, don't do that. Listen to them. We're supposed to do it. Some are much more gracious at it than others. Debbie's very good at graciously telling people off. I'm learning a lot from her. I'm a bit unsupple. It doesn't really get you very far. But let's learn how to teach and admonish another with all wisdom. Right, before I say a prayer and hand back over to David, has anybody got me a drawing to share that something they've learnt from their parents or grandparents? You don't have to, Lexi, unless you want to. Have you got anything, Liz? You've been doing something. What have you learnt? Can I read it? She's shy, that's okay. Oh, wow, look at this. Wow, this is fantastic. Manners. Manners. Who's learnt manners from parents or grandparents? Oh, look at that. Wow. Forgive me. Sorry. May I? Excuse me. Pardon me. Thank you. Please. Oh, no wonder Connie's such a wonderful girl. Look at that. Manners maketh man. An old expression. Still true. Maketh man and women and children. Thank you very much. Oh, she's done manners as well. Oh, I'm not going to embarrass her. Oh, have a look afterwards. Let's pray. Lord, there are times when we have to learn the hard lessons ourselves. But thank you that there are so many times when we don't. We can read about how someone else has got it wrong and has learned. Lord, help us to listen to what you're speaking to us through events and words that were spoken thousands of years ago. Because you have not changed. And the need to remember and to return to you, to be committed to you, to worship you, to obey you, and to tell others about you and disciple others has never changed. Lord, help us do what we need to do for ourselves. And then together, let us do what you call us to do. Because you told us to go out to the nations, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything you commanded us. Help us not shrink back from teaching to obey. Amen.
Have a couple of minutes for you just to ponder what the Lord has been saying to you this morning. Holy Father, we thank you that you do speak to us. And we pray that you'll give each one of us grace to respond to what you're saying to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As we respond to the message, let's sing it again. Restore, O Lord.
a star.
Because I want you to pity me or feel sorry for me. It's more to let you know how amazing our God is and how, I have written it down so I don't forget, but it's just to let you know that I was diagnosed with Alzheimer's on Thursday. I'd had a blood test and it came through from that. And I knew that I'd got a problem, but I didn't know I'd got that big a problem. And my brother-in-law, I watched him go down with it. But when they came and they told me, I wasn't expecting it, but I didn't feel upset. I just said, we'll have to do what we can while we can. And I had complete peace in my head. And Mark, who obviously is going to be in the harder position, bless him, he has peace. And so we're carrying on. I just said, well, right, God has given us both peace about it. There is a lot of support from outside services as well to help us both. Which is, you know, they've been lovely. The people, the help of the... What are they called, Mark?
NHS Services.
NHS Services. And this is where I have the problem. His words just go. And I hadn't written that bit down. But they were all so lovely, so kind, so gentle, thoughtful. Couldn't ask for anything better. So... I would say, if anybody has a problem, then don't be afraid to go to the services, because they are absolutely wonderful. So that was a good thing. There's a lot of support from outside services to help us both. They were bringing carers for Mark so that he can go out, not carers for me, so that Mark can go out and things like that. And I would like you to all pray for Mark, really, because that is my worst concern, is for him. Bless him. Not that he'd have it said that way. Please forgive me when I forget things when I'm with you, because I take it in and it doesn't stay in there very long. So I don't want to upset people by them thinking, what on earth is she doing? So that's one reason why I wanted to say this today, so that you would all know that I am still me. I am still me. And we will be all right. We'll get through it. So thank you.
Mark, could you come to the front as well? With Jackie.
And this way.
If you come towards
the microphone.
If I pray perhaps a moment of Stephen prays, is that okay?
Father God, I thank you so much for Jackie and for Mark. Personally, they mean a lot to me. I pray for your peace, your shalom, your wholeness for both of them. We pray for your grace to rest on them. Amen.
I think the amazing thing is that God has just taken us through it without it. We know he's there with us.
Yeah.
And that's all we need.
God is in control.
Just as well as somebody is.
Well, the word that he brought to this morning, wasn't it? That he alone gives peace.
Yes.
So let's pray again. Father, thank you that we have a faithful God. That you're right here now, and your peace that transcends, passes, is bigger than all understanding, will guard Jackie and Mark's heart and mind in the coming days. I thank you for their honesty and vulnerability, sharing with us, allowing us to journey along with them. So many in our church family at the moment are doing the same thing, letting you in and letting one another in. And we know this is because you are good, you put love in your church, and that together we are growing to become more like Jesus. And we pray that Mark and Jackie will be at peace throughout every step of the journey.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Stephen.
That's it.
Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Summarise our thoughts. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Shall we close our service with the wonderful song? This is a go-to hymn for myself and Marina. There is a hope. And for all of us, that's true. There is a hope. Let's sing together.
There is a thought that burns within my heart that gives me strength for every lasting day. A glimpse of glory now revealed in meager part, yet drives all doubt away. Christ dying, Christ risen, so. Still is a hope that stands the test of time, and is my eyes beyond the baking bay to see the matchless beauty of a day.
You. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.